I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we get set for a massive midweek of European action. Brendan Rodgers hopes Celtic fans and the board can put their differences aside ahead of planned protests against Braga tomorrow. Rangers are in Austria hoping to avoid a night that piles more pressure on Russell Martin, and they've appointed a new head of recruitment. And speaking of managers under pressure, Aberdeen switched their focus to Shakhtar Donetsk, but they have scored in Europe unlike the Scottish Premiership. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Jim Duffy and Roger Hannah.
Oh, Gordon, you've always heard of Super Sunday. Get ready for Thunderous Thursday. Three teams in European action. Celtic, as you see, against Braga under the lights at Parkhead tomorrow tea time. Rangers on the dodgy grass and grats after one plastic pitch at Livingston and ahead of another plastic pitch at Falkirk. And Jimmy Tilleen and Aberdeen desperate to halt their slide. Shakhtar Donetsk in the Granite City. That is a tough one. Get ready, Gordon, for European football bingo. It's either good or bad for the coefficient. It's difficult to play Thursday, Sunday. And as Jim Duffy knows, there are no easy games in Europe.
The thing is, Gordon, you know, you look at all the Scottish clubs. They're, for one reason or another, the fans are not happy. Yeah. To quote Liam Gallagher, this storm has not run out of rain. And, you know, there's plenty of rain left, unfortunately, for these clubs, you know, to suffer. But they need big results in Europe, at least to try and buy themselves a little bit of time for things to start to calm down, so as that when the domestic campaign comes round again, hopefully the supporters will get back behind the team.
0141-951-1025. That's the number, so come on down. What are you thinking ahead of tomorrow? If we go chronologically for tomorrow, Celtic fans, you'll have kicked off early in the evening, so this essentially is your last chance to get your pre-match thoughts in. The big picture, we're going to hear from Brendan Rodgers. He's hoping everyone can pull together, because we know that Celtic's best chance of winning on a big European night at home is for the fans to be noisy, as they have been many times before. But safe to say, there will be no noise, or very little noise, for the first half hour or so due to this planned protest. So it was interesting enough for 12 minutes against Hibs. How do you feel about it tomorrow? Still the right thing to do for some of you? Or does it hold the team back tomorrow night? What do you think? And like we said, it's the last chance to get your pre-match thoughts in. So what does the team need to look like? Is it Colby Donovan or Anthony Ralston? Does Daizen Maeda play? Does Iheanacho play? Is it maybe time for someone like Reo Hatate to come out the team? You tell us. Give us all your thoughts ahead of that game tomorrow. 0141-951-1025. Rangers fans, we are going to cross live to Austria and get the latest from your camp ahead of that game against Sturm Graz. So what's the feeling going into this one? Is it just the same as Russell Martin, kind of living game to game, even when he's winning at the weekend? It doesn't alleviate much of the pressure off him. So what are you feeling ahead of this one tomorrow? And what about your new head of recruitment? I must admit, I didn't quite expect that to blow up on Twitter earlier on when Rangers appointed a new head of recruitment, because his surname is Thelwell, which means his dad is Kevin, who's of course already in there as Rangers director of football. So I wonder how you feel about his son being appointed as the head of recruitment. Give us your thoughts there as well. Aberdeen fans, anyone else, we're here for you. Same number, 0141-951-1025. Never a dull day, Roger. Truly impossible for Scottish football.
Yeah, and it's building up beautifully to three really important games tomorrow, because Celtic is at a 29-minute silent protest at the start of the game. That's a long time in a game of football, Gordon. I'll be fascinated to see whether it holds, whether it doesn't hold, how it affects the team. Brendan Rodgers is clearly has, I'm going to say at the back of his mind, probably at the forefront of his mind, the fact that there was one silent protest at the weekend and the game finished in a 0-0 draw. Now, maybe 0-0 anyway, you don't know. But it's not helping the team, and he knows that. Rangers and grads, nothing seems to help the team at the minute. But to quote the young people, the optics of another Thelwell coming in when the original Thelwell isn't the most popular figure at the club. I'm trying to think of a popular figure at the club, actually, Jim, but he's not one of the more popular. I'm quite sure we'll have callers on that tonight. And Jimmy Tillian, just when you think it can't get any tougher, Shakhtar Donetsk roll into town.
Yes, so 141 951 1025, so much happening, get your calls in. Roger does mention that word, Jim, optics. I can't believe a trip to Loch Lomond and the appointment of a head of recruitment are kind of the same thing, where it might be the right thing to do. It might be entirely unfair to criticise it, but it doesn't look good at a time when everybody's surrounding the club in negativity. Would that be fair? All I've seen today is Rangers fans leaping on to social media and say, how can Kevin Thelwell, how can the best guy for the job be Kevin Thelwell's son? Now, he might be, but it's the way it looks, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it does look like a bit of nepotism, doesn't it? And that's the difficulty, you know. And the sad thing is, you need time when you're head of recruitment. Of course you do. You know, first and foremost, it won't be until at least January when that can be tested, whether he is, because that's the next time you have an opportunity to bring players in. Or if part of his job is, can he help some of the players move out as well, because they have to clear the decks. But yeah, I mean, it's a difficult one when you're so young. You know, in other jobs, if you're, you know, mid-20s or whatever it happens to be, and you're clever enough and qualified enough, not too many people look at it. But in this type of position, it's very rare that someone of that age, Gordon, gets a head of recruitment at a club with the size of Rangers and the resources that they have. So yeah, there's definitely going to be a bit of controversy. I think they must have known that. But it's probably been well down the line, as you say. You mentioned the you know, the cold water swimming or whatever it happens to be, the team bonding thing at Loch Lomond. And I mean, that's a bit coincidental, because this must have been, obviously, I'm sure there was a proper interview process, you know, due diligence, etc., to get to this point where it is Kevin Thelwell's son that's got the job. But I'm sure that process has been taking a number of weeks, if not months, to finally come to this conclusion.
Okay, let's bring in Daniel from Bishop Briggs, who's first through tonight. Hi, Daniel.
Hi there, how you doing?
Good, Daniel. How are you?
Yeah, good, good.
What are you thinking?
I just think with the Celtic board and the protests, etc., these protests could be stopped if the board just communicated with the fans. So the reason they're doing it is the whole 29 days without any response. So I think less pressure should be put on the fans to stop it. It's actually the board could stop it within hours if they just communicated.
Yeah, Roger, for anyone who doesn't know, I think Daniel's explained it perfectly, the significance of the 29. So it was 12 at the weekend for the 12th man. The 29 is the number of days that the Celtic fans have been waiting for a satisfactory response to their complaints.
Yeah, I think the fans, correct me if I'm wrong, Gordon, the Celtic Collective, I think, which is the group of all the kind of fans bodies, met with Michael Nicholson on a Friday night at the start of September. There were a lot of things laid on the table, and I think the Celtic Collective are still waiting for what they would deem a suitable response, or any response from the club, to a lot of the points that they made in that initial meeting with the Celtic chief executive. So sometimes Celtic communications, not just with the fans, Daniel, with the media as well, sometimes they don't come at the pace with which you may want them to come. And you know, what will probably happen is there will be a statement on the Celtic website at some stage when we're least expecting it, Daniel, because that seems generally to be the way things work. But I can understand, 4 weeks have passed, more than 4 weeks, and I think the supporters are fed up, you know, at that silence.
Yeah, I think you said the communication is the main thing. Like, these processes can stop if the board would just do their actual job and communicate with fans. Like, they're quite happy to put season tickets up, but they can't even get an interview on YouTube or anything with Michael Nicholson. Like, there's teams like St Mirren, Motherwell, that are all putting out interviews with the director of football, etc. That's
a fair point, Daniel Neville. I don't really know Michael Nicholson at all because he doesn't do interviews. And a lot of people have said that's not his style. That's, it was never going to be his style. That's not what you should be doing. But to my mind, if you're going to be in a position like chief executive of Celtic Football Club, then you need to embrace everything that goes with that. And I think sitting down with the media, sitting down with club media as well, is part of that. Because, you know, if Michael Nicholson did an interview with Gordon Duncan for Super Scoreboard, or did an interview with myself for the Scottish Sun, he's not really doing it to speak to us. He's doing it to use us as a vehicle to speak to the fans. And part of being chief executive of Celtic is speaking to the fans.
I think you also have to understand that the way the not just football, but the world in general works nowadays is through media, whether it's social media or direct media. And if you are in any position of authority or a post where you've got a high ranking official, you have to be prepared to do that. You cannot be silent these days. It's just important, because obviously then people will make their own judgments, and then that then generates even more anger and frustration. And it's sad for the team, because European nights, yeah, we know it's not the Champions League, Daniel, but European nights are traditionally, you know, what the Celtic fans live for. You know, the reputation in Europe amongst other clubs and that is greatly enhanced by the atmosphere created at Celtic Park in European nights. And when you're going to have a silence, that's certainly going to take away a lot of that. And how do the team perform? You know, does it take away from that intensity that you want them to play it in a European night? Mm. So I think it can affect the team, but I do agree with you know, the yourself and Roger there, that, you know, Celtic have to, I mean, come in this age really and start speaking to fans in a little bit better than they have done in recent years.
Is there a fear, Daniel, that it is counterproductive tomorrow night, or is that just a kind of risk worth taking to try and get change or get a response?
It's got to be a risk worth taking, to be honest with you, because if we don't do anything, nothing will change. I watch every kind of podcast on the Celtic, and I've heard a few things that Peter Lawlor is still very, very involved. Don't know if Roger knows. Is it true that he still micromanages the club quite a lot?
Peter, no. To be honest, from my own knowledge, it's Michael Nicholson, who runs the football club. He has got an executive panel up there, you know, Chris Mackay, finance director, and other guys in big positions there. I think a lot of Peter Lawwell's work, listen, he's still chairman of the football club, but I think of a lot of it is involved in almost like extracurricular stuff, Daniel. You know, he's high up in that European Club Association. He represents Celtic on, you know, sort of UEFA committees and external things, if you like. But in terms of the day-to-day hands-on stuff, as far as I know, not at all.
Is he not more of a direct link to Dermot Dedden?
I just think the number of years, he's bound to be, isn't he?
Yeah.
Just the number of years he's been at the football club, Jim. I would think that may well be the case. But in terms of the actual day-to-day operations, Dan, you know, the buys, the sales, the you know, the kind of corporate decisions that are made at boardroom level, it's Michael Nicholson that drives all that.
Let's hear from Brendan Rodgers. Thank you, Daniel. The manager hopes there will be unity between the club's board and supporters. That's ahead of that planned 29-minute silent protest tomorrow.
Obviously, Celtic Park is renowned for its atmosphere and what it can do to the opponent. So it's probably something, in all fairness, you would have to ask the other team. But I hope, I suppose my message is probably for the longer term, is that hopefully we can, you know, both parties can sit down and respect the differences and find a solution so that we can all pull together again. And because that's what's always key here for Celtic. Until that happens, I need to manage the team to maximise what we can get out of the team, and knowing that the team will be very focused on getting the results that the club want.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Paul is on the line as well. What's your take on all this, Paul?
All right, Gordon, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Not very good. It's a shame Celtic starting as a humble organisation, feeding the poor, working class people at the East End of Glasgow, to suddenly, in this day and age, turned into a maximum money-making machine where everything's just about making money. They can't even get a friendly in the summer after them for nothing. They're wheeling out Henrik Larsson, asking him to sign as many tats as they can, frame them, won't get your Henrik Larsson trackies and all that. Are they for real? And they keep posting it. I'm ready for unfollowing them and flinging away the season ticket altogether.
The one thing I would say, I think that stuff, Roger, is bound to be highlighted right now because Celtic fans aren't happy. So with every happy birthday message to a former player or every new piece of merchandise that's launched, it's not going to go down well. I'm not sure Celtic are any different from any other big club. That's not to make it right, and I get why as a fan, life is expensive, football's expensive, and you're a bit scunnered with how much it all costs. But I don't know if that's exclusive to Celtic.
You know what did interest me, and Paul will be aware of this, there was almost like a joint protest at the game in Saturday, the Hibernian travelling fans. I think they've been charged £39 for the game, and both the Hibs travelling fans and a section of the Celtic home support had banners out complaining about the pricing at football nowadays. The problem, and listen, Paul's talking about throwing away a season ticket, the problem that a lot of supporters have is if Paul doesn't renew his season ticket, Celtic know there's a lengthy waiting list there who will happily grasp Paul's season ticket. So Celtic are in a position as to, you know, whatever Paul and Daniel before think, and whatever any of us think, Celtic are in a position of strength because of the size and strength of the fan base.
And also things in football change. So if Celtic did change and someone like Paul had perhaps given his season ticket up and things changed for the better in a couple of months' time, you might be struggling then to get back on the list again, or do you go to the bottom of the list, or whatever, like Roger's saying. But I think the point Paul's making has got a bit of relevance to it, in the sense of it's common sense with timing. Anything in football, Gordon, he's right. He says Celtic are a business, a very successful financial business, but in amongst that, they've got very experienced business acumen and business people. So therefore, whether it's their HR department, their PR department, whatever it happens to be, time things properly. You spoke earlier on about the Rangers situation, where on the back of the Loch Lomond thing, and then given the new head of recruitment, that kind of stuff. Sometimes you've got to maybe just hold things back until the water's calm a little bit, and then perhaps in a couple of months' time, if everything is a little bit more settled, you can then bring out those other type of things as
Must
Paul
be
has
hard
mentioned.
Though, you've got all these different departments who are looking after their own business, and you might wait, and then you think it's a good time, then you go and lose another game. So I want to ask you, Paul, though, about tomorrow then, because we've just heard from Brendan Rodgers the protest. You're clearly quite disillusioned as a Celtic fan currently. Is that the right way to go about that tomorrow? Do you think it holds the team back, particularly in Europe?
I think, honestly, Gordon, I think the protests are 100% correct, because this time last season, when we played Bayern Munich, I was thinking to myself, this is it getting better. If this is what we're like the new, what's the investment going to be like for next year? Maybe we could kick on again. But do you know what happened? They sell everybody. They should be called Brown Envelope FC. That's what they should be called. Everybody's getting a backhander for everybody that gets sold.
Ooh, don't know about that. I'd maybe ask you to walk back those accusations if you can, unless you can prove them. I don't know about that. It might leave us in a bit of bother. No names were mentioned, and I don't think there's anything to back up Paul's opinion there. But look, there's clearly all is not well. That would be fair. And last week was an away European game where a point was perceived to be fine.
Result,
it ended decent enough. It shows you that it isn't going to go away anytime soon.
I think
the footballing hope is, right, okay, we didn't make the Champions League, but let's throw everything at the Europa League and try and attack that. And maybe it's a level that Celtic can compete in, but still battling against all this stuff.
It is, because there's all sorts of conflicts, and in the middle of all those conflicts is Brendan Rodgers and the team. Now, we know that some fans were not happy with Brendan Rodgers as well, at certain times, but they felt maybe the style of football, but and Brendan himself has several times alluded to the transfer situation and didn't get the players that he was looking for. So there's been a lot of conflict with all parties concerned, Gordon. But now that the transfer window's closed, the statements have been made, Brendan still has a job to do, which is to get his team, to start winning matches in this competition.
Thank you, Paul. 0141 951 1025. We can discuss that further. We can look at Rangers heading to Austria, their new head of recruitment, if you so wish, as well. Give us a call. We'll speak to you next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Jim Duffy are in the building. Why not give them a call? Let them know what you're thinking ahead of a massive midweek of European action and various other stories doing the rounds in Scottish football today, as well as is always the case. Let's go straight back to the phones for William, who's a Rangers fan in Port Glasgow. How's it going, William?
Yeah, not too bad. How's it going, guys?
All good in here. What have you got for us?
Good stuff. Yeah, it's obviously in relation to obviously the news that Kevin Thewell's son is going to be appointed as the new head of recruitment. Again, I think it just sums up the kind of feelings of a lot of us Rangers fans this season, how the kind of new regime and kind of the new setup at Rangers has gone so far this season. It's just, I think it's just a shambles, and it just stinks of nepotism, to be honest with you. This guy came in, we've went through this whole recruitment process for a number of weeks, maybe months, to try and appoint a head of recruitment, and the best we could come up with is just conveniently the sporting director's son. I just think it stinks of nepotism completely, and it's just, I think you've obviously seen the reaction online. It's not gone down well, and it seems as though we're just clamming together a bunch of Everton rejects, to be honest.
Are you able in any way, William, to open your mind to the possibility that he is the best guy for the job?
Not even when you look at his CV. To be honest with you, a couple of scouting jobs at Norwich and Aston Villa. I get Aston Villa is a big club, I guess, but you know, he was obviously a scout at Norwich as well. His CV doesn't exactly scream like someone we should be going for. If his second name wasn't Thelwell and he wasn't Kevin Thelwell's son and we interviewed him, would he be given the job? I don't know. I'm just a wee bit too suspicious about it, and it's just, yeah, it just stinks to me, to be honest. So if you're not a fan of it at all.
Jim touched on a good point earlier on. I'm going to say for a minute here, let's pretend that young Mr. Thelwell is the real deal, right? He's the real deal. I'm going to take you back to a former Celtic head of recruitment, a guy called Mark Lawwell, who I actually thought did a really good job at Celtic and found good players and brought them in, and they managed to turn some of them over and made substantial profits. But
By the way, had operated in the City Group and so on, and had that kind of backing,
but never got a chance because he was the son of the father, if you like.
Well, he did get a chance. You mean in the eyes of some fans?
Yeah. Some people just didn't accept him because of his surname. So this lad might be brilliant, but I think he's already behind the eight ball in terms of acceptance from the Rangers fans. And you know, Gordon, the point that Jim touched on, how daft is it of Rangers to do this just now? Now, even if this young Mr. Thelwell is the real deal, and he might be, I don't know, I've absolutely no idea whether he's the real deal or not. If he's the real deal, why would you do it just now at a time when you're leaving yourself open to more criticism and, you know, almost abuse, if you like, because there are fans who want Patrick Stewart out, who want Russell Martin out. There are ones who want Kevin Thelwell out. And whether this is right, the right appointment or not, it's the wrong time for this to be emerging into the public domain. Rangers should have waited till, you know, the current furore over the football department had calmed down,
if at all.
Yeah, if it does come down. The only thing I would say, I mean, a couple of points for Williams made. The one is that he was saying about, you know, the whole thing regarding the new ownership and all that stuff. But the new ownership has invested heavily in already the recruitment that's come in. And the second thing I would say is that from the other side of it, I actually don't think the recruitment's been that great. That's my opinion in terms of what they brought in. So therefore, the previous recruitment side of it hasn't been great, so perhaps, you know, the boy needs an opportunity, because they have invested a lot of money. The new ownership has backed up what they said they would do. They said they would invest, and they have done that. It's all down to opinion and obviously time and all these sort of things, and time, as we know, is very precious in football, and you rarely get it. But certainly if you look at the amount of players that's been brought in, there's been very few. Gassama has been maybe the exception, but there's been very few so far that you know, you can say has been an absolute stick out. I think there's a few done okay, but there's not enough of them, you know, being top class yet, you know, or looked as if they've been worth the investment that Rangers have currently spent on them.
I mean, William, is this, surely the people inside Ibrox know how this is going to be received. So is that just a sign of the kind of determination they've got to do things their way and try and not listen to the outside noise. Does that give you sort of any encouragement about just how committed they are at sort of doing it their way? I think I'm trying to maybe spin it round the other way to try and look at it differently, because I appreciate all the Celtic, all the Rangers fans.
Can I just say see the recruitment as well now? I mean, as predominantly a younger guy's game now, yeah. Because it's database.
I don't think the age is relevant here.
It's database. And younger people are obviously.
I don't think
that's the way they're brought into the game now. Where it's not like.
Nobody's complaining.
Yeah.
I think, William, you're complaining about the family name other than the age, aren't you?
I mean, obviously, the point you sort of mentioned as well, kind of trying to take the emotion out of it, I suppose that's one thing that we were kind of excited about in terms of takeover. We kind of saw as a positive, because I think the previous board were reactionary because a lot of them were Rangers supporters at heart, and they did take into account. And there's nothing wrong with obviously taking fans' opinion into account, because obviously you're running their football club, and us as fans are trusting them to run it properly in a way that we see as hope for being successful. So I get that you need to take the emotion out of it, and you can't really listen to too much outside noise, and you want to try and make the decision that you feel is best for the football club and ours and the business as a whole. We need to look at it at that side. But I agree with, I think it was Roger that mentioned it there, saying like, because there's not a great feeling about the club just now, to allow this to kind of leak out or to do this just now when the feeling is so low, maybe the reaction would have been slightly different had we started the season well, I'm not too sure. But just because the whole feeling around farewell Stuart and Martin just now is so low, this news just isn't being well received. I don't think the recruitment's been great either just now, but yeah, I think that's just the overall feeling at the minute.
Yeah, because you could apply that, what William puts very well there, Roger, you can apply that to Russell Martin's situation, because fans are so important, but at the same time, you can't make every single decision based on whether there's a noise from the fan base. However, at the moment, Rangers fans want Russell Martin out, and in a sense, I hope I'm not being unfair, those that run the club have got their fingers in their ears and say, no, we'll be fine doing it our way. But that same logic has now presumably been applied to this appointment, because again, you must just kind of know, whether it's right or wrong, you must just know how this is going to be received amongst fans like William.
If you don't know, then that's a problem in itself, I would have said. If you don't have the kind of self-awareness to realise the reaction that this appointment's going to get in the current circumstances, then that's a problem. We're entering really strange territory. You know, Jim has been in football even longer than I've been covering football. I can never remember a time when both Old Firm fan bases were so set against their clubs. Mm-hmm. Normally through the years, if Celtic are winning, the Rangers fans aren't happy. Mm-hmm. If Rangers are winning, the Celtic fans aren't happy. We're now in a situation where both fan bases are digging in against their clubs, and the club hierarchies aren't wavering one little bit. You know, there could be a 29-minute silence, protest at Celtic Park tomorrow night. I don't think Dermot Desmond will worry too much when he's at a Dunhill Cup at St Andrews. You know, it wouldn't put him off his putting, I wouldn't have thought. So the 29-minute protest, for me, isn't going to have any impact on the Celtic board. And it looks as if, you know, the protest, the call from William tonight, the Rangers board just seem as if they're digging in.
What about John, who's on the other line? Thank you to William. What's your take on it, John?
Hiya. Good evening. Thanks for having me on. Hello. I was just listening. I said to your producer there, I mean, who's running? Who's actually making these decisions to appoint these people? I mean, are they not reading the room? I mean, they want Kevin Thelwell out. Never mind bringing his son in. They actually want the Rangers fans are wanting him out. It seems to be that it's a basket case of a club now, and whoever's sitting making decisions, lads, they're just. I mean, no using the terminology digging a deeper hole, but. I really don't know much about the boy as a recruitment head of recruitment anywhere. But I hope he wasn't at Everton when he bought the centre forward.
Beto.
Well, that's the thing sorry, on you go, John.
But the thing is there are severe problems there. As it was being quite pointed out, Jim made the valid point there about the timing. See, if they wait and they get to pull this round a wee bit and get their timing right, if they manage to claw back up about fifth or sixth in the league, fourth or something like that, they well in Europe, then they can bring this guy out and the timing would be right. At this moment, I know it's toxic, it's vitriolic. It's not the right time to bring this boy into this environment.
Mm-hmm. I mean, well, that's the problem. To answer John's question, literally, Roger, it is the person that's making the decision, presumably, that's causing the issue here. It's Kevin Thelwell's decision, is it not?
It will need to be signed off by Patrick Sure, chief executive. But yeah, you know, you would think Kevin Thelwell will, as sporting director, will have a say. I mean, he had a huge say in Dan Purdy coming up. I think he's technical director, who had worked with him previously at Everton. So they are, you know, putting together a structure that they believe will benefit Rangers in the medium to long term. As Jim said, though, the first signs of the recruitment wouldn't instill you with a great deal of confidence that they're going the right way. And my goodness, they could do with Yusuf Chirmiti scoring a goal.
Yeah, I mean, look, this hasn't been officially confirmed by Rangers yet, yeah. Roger, but Jim, but to be fair, like the sources who got the story are reliable. Rangers also haven't contradicted it, which tends to tell you that it's on its way. So
yeah, I mean, it's a bit like a player getting bought for a certain amount of money and people judge him on a transfer. If you feel sorry for the boy, I mean, he's applied for a job he thinks he's qualified to do and he gets the job. Unfortunately, as I said to him, his dad being, you know, in a position there to influence that, if you want to call it that, perhaps influence it, then, you know, that's difficult. But as John was mentioned there, you know, to me, again, if you're on the crest of a wave, if you're doing well, you can bring players in, bring staff in under the radar at times, and then if they do well, then you can then start to, no one cares, you know, what their name is or what their family history is or any of these type of things. But because of the circumstances that are at Rangers now, and it is, as you said, toxic, you know, there's an awful lot of toxicity around about the club and a lot of frustration, a lot of anger. This just adds to it a little bit because it just seems as if, you know, that they're not opening up enough to assess everything. Yeah. And it seems a little bit of a closed shop. And I think when that happens, that's when fans get even more frustrated. That's when they dig their heels in to say, no, we're not happy with the running of the club.
Because that's the thing. You have to leave yourself open to the possibility that he's the best guy for this job. Yeah. However, that's a very hard sell to the Rangers fans. I think that's undeniable. That's a hard pill to swallow, I think, for Rangers fans, is it not?
Yeah, but
that of everybody that was out there,
Rangers fans would have more confidence in it, as Jim says,
if they were winning already, and if recruitment had been good previously.
This is a recruitment job that the champ's gone into. The recruitment under his father has not been good enough.
Thank you very much to John. What about this before we move on? Clyde One. There cannot possibly be anyone listening who does not like the sound of winning £560,000. So, get 100 entries into the draw by texting BANK to 61025. Texts are £10 plus your standard network rate. For 7 entries, you text YES to 61025. Those texts are £250 plus your standard network rate. Or you can call 03434 269 340. And the calls are charged at a standard rate as well. It is over 18s only. The online entry and all the rules for this Rail Network competition are at makemeawinner.co.uk. The lines close at 5 p.m. Friday, so you are starting to run out of time. Don't hang around. £560,000 up for grabs. Text YES to 61025.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hannah is here, so is Jim Duffy. It's an exciting midweek. This Rangers are in Austria, and so are we. Let's cross live and speak to Gabriel.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard European football coverage with the Drake Neighbourhood Gastropub. Watch live sport in the West End of Glasgow.
Okay, Gabriel has been in Russell Martin's press conference. What was the main takeaway from that, Gabriel?
Yeah, Gordon, well, good evening, first of all, from the Mercure Arena here in the south of Austria, a 16,000-seater, the home of Sturm Graz, where Rangers will be tomorrow night. About 1,000 supporters will be away just in the corner behind me, but not most of them not here yet, travelling this afternoon, this evening, coming from Vienna. It was a very quiet day in the city, but not a quiet day in the press conference room, as you say. Just spoken to manager Russell Martin, and he had some very, very interesting quotes. Of course, we all know about the unrelenting, increasing supporter anger against his position as the head coach and against other members of the board as well. It got to a new level at the weekend. That late winner, Max Aaron's goal against Livingston, instead of celebrating straight away, the ire was turned back on to Martin by his own supporters. And when asked about it, Martin said that he's happy to deal with it. It doesn't make him sad, but what does make him sad is when he sees children standing next to their own parents, swearing at him, giving it endless abuse. He feels sad for the kids and the never-ending cycle that comes off the back at that as well. And he insisted once again, Gordon, that he really is enjoying his job here at Rangers, and he genuinely believes the team are showing signs of improvement. Once again, he talked about it taking time to get better, but he thinks that this could be another step in the right direction. He spoke about tomorrow's match, Thursday night, of course, here at the Mercure Arena. And so they've got to come with the mentality to win, especially given what happened last week, losing that opening game at Ibrox 7 days ago. Just a quick message as well about the pitch. I'm not sure if you, the boys in the studio and the watchers at home can see it, but it is not in the best condition at all. Now, Sturm Graz share this arena with another team, so it gets played on very often. There's been heavy rainfall as well over the past few weeks, according to members of staff here at the Mercure Arena. And it is not looking in good condition, but Martin said that's no excuse. He feels that the pitch they played on in Greece against Panathinaikos in their Champions League qualifiers a few months ago was much worse. So no excuse for Martin with the condition of the pitch.
I suppose for those who are watching in the live stream and can see Gabriel joining us on FaceTime, you could say the condition of the pitch is a bit like the condition of his jumper.
Yeah, Gordon, you took the words right out of my mouth.
Is that bobbly?
Bobbly, seen better days, in need of renewal.
Listen to us three, what would we know about fashion for young men like you, Gabriel? That's, no, that's a jumper for Austria.
In the rain. Man's got to get wrapped
that's
up.
That's a jumper for Austria in the autumn, isn't
it's
it?
It's only the second time I've worn this jumper.
I know, it's meant to be like that.
Designed this way.
Was the first time 1984?
Harsh.
Anyway, Gabriel, what the kind of big topic here so far tonight has actually been about the appointment, impending appointment of Kevin Thelwell's son as Rangers' new head of recruitment. Was that something that made its way to the press conference?
Yeah, well, once all the stuff about the match and the supporter abuse was out of the way, it was asked just towards the end. Of course, it wasn't Martin's appointment. He said he wasn't actually involved in the discussions, and he said he wouldn't expect to be. But he did throw his weight behind it and insisted that the people in charge of the club, Kevin Thelwell himself, Patrick Stewart, Dan Purdy, he said they would not appoint anyone if they didn't think they were the best person for the job. And he said the club has to change. It has to move in a positive, forward, modern direction. And it seems that 26-year-old Robbie Thelwell is the choice of the club to become the new head of recruitment, Gordon.
So, there we go. An interesting mixed bag from Russell Martin. Just quickly before we let Gabriel go, anything else in terms of team news or anything that we need to know specifically for tomorrow?
No, team news. Martin said that everyone from the weekend will be okay. We had the press conference from the Graz manager as well earlier on. He said that, I think perhaps maybe something lost in translation, that Rangers have spent $60 million this summer. But he was just trying to highlight the fact there's been heavy investment in this squad, and he was backing them to come good and trying really to push on that Rangers will be the favourites for tomorrow night. So it's going to be really interesting to see how it plays out. Kickoff is 8 o'clock here in Austria.
Brilliant. Thank you very much to Gabriel. So a lot to get through from Russell Martin. I'm not sure that, I hope it's not opening can of worms for a debate about parenting at football matches from Russell Martin talking about young kids, giving them the gestures. I don't really know where to go with that comment unless you've got anything you want to add.
No, I don't really want anything to add to that. The one thing that strikes me about, you know, you listen to Gabriel, Russell Martin's confirmed everything that we spoke about earlier in the show. It sounds as if the people in charge of Rangers are bedding down and they are strengthening their own position at the club with more appointments. So if I was a Rangers fan and I was indulging in these protests against Russell Martin and Patrick Stewart and Kevin Thelwell, I would warn you that I don't think any of them look as if they're moving anytime soon.
That's why it's good to have a man on the ground. He's telling us about the condition of the pitch and what's just going on in the press conference, and we'll let you hear from the horse's mouth as well, so to speak, before too much longer. We will bring you Russell Martin, but Gabriel just jumped straight out of the press conference to speak to us there. Let's bring in Craig, who is a Rangers fan, and get his take on things as we sit here tonight. Go on, go, Craig.
Cheers, Gordon. Yeah, I completely agree with Roger there. As a Rangers fan, whether or not we like Russell Martin, we agree with his tactics or whatever, the man's here to stay. I think that's quite obvious. Now, my kind of main point is, I'm not sure there's better educated people than me who could come up with a word for it, but I feel quite sick at what Russell Martin's been subjected to in terms of a GTF, obviously I'm not swear Gordon, so don't need to do the 7 second delay. but I feel quite bad for him as a human being, and I know that's going to be laughed at in terms of Rangers fans because that's what he says, but for any manager to go through what Russell Martin's been through, listen, the guy didn't appoint himself. He's come into a situation that he openly admits he wasn't the fans' first choice. I personally do think, and what I said to the producer at the start of the show when I was trying to go on was, I don't know if you remember Ange Postecoglou when Andy Ralston scored on, I think it was about the 96th minute or something.
Ross County.
Ross County. Mm-hmm. Ross County, yeah. It has a similar feel to that to me. I'm not saying Russell Martin's going to go on and win a title, but it has similar vibes because Gerrard was dropping points left, right and centre all over the place before he went to Villa. Gerrard is held on a mantelpiece I don't believe he should be on by a lot of Rangers fans because he failed and COVID saved his job. Okay, he stopped to 10, but, you know, anyway, I divulge about Gerrard. That's not the main point. In terms of Russell Martin, listen, I'm not saying he's going to go on and win the title. Of course I'm not. But my thing is, when it gets to that point, and obviously Jim Duffy will remember Ali McCoist. I said this to Gordon last time I was on. Ali McCoist got similar chance of Ali, GTF, and he turned it around. I'm not saying Russell's going to do that, but it makes me feel physically sick, the abuse the guy's getting, because, okay, he cannot like a manager. There's been Michael Beale, there's been Philip Coman, there's been Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, there's been other ones. For me, the guy was on the hiding to nothing, but there's something there. There's something there if he can turn it around, but I don't think these protests help anybody.
Yeah, I think, like, and I'm not meaning to pin Craig down on it, maybe he didn't mean complete literal direct comparison with the Anthony Ralston moment. The thing that jumps out though, and that
a pivotal moment, that's what you're saying,
yeah,
in the season.
The obvious difference there is Celtic had won 20 odd games by that time. That was December,
yeah,
and there were real signs, you know, prior to that. Russell Martin's won five, and there maybe aren't as many signs before. Look, see, I think on a basic human level, how can anyone really disagree with Craig? That must be extremely tough for Russell Martin.
Of course,
to stand
it's extremely tough for any manager. And I have to say, Gordon, not that I was manager of Rangers, but I was the manager at Hibs, and you know, I got a fair amount of stick when it wasn't going well, and there was a lot of things like when you've got, particularly if you've got a family, my kids were young at the time and at the game and all these kind of stuff, and you know, it can be tough, and as I said, sometimes as a manager you can be thick-skinned, but it's how it affects everyone around you, and that's very, very difficult. And it's probably one of the very, very few occupations, never mind sports, that it's allowed and accepted and deemed to be part of football. You know, in any other sport, I mean, we just saw it in the Ryder Cup there, that if there was a little bit of, you know, stick for the fans, everyone's
flies in the face, Jim, a modern society.
Yeah, exactly.
You and I would say that it's a far more woke society than it was when we were growing up.
There's a word, you know, I didn't expect to use on Clyde One Superstore tonight, quite frankly.
No, if you watch some of those channels, not the channels Daz watches, the ones, you know, the old comedy shows and the old drama shows that were maybe out 40 or 50 years ago, they get repeated. There's messages at the start of the show saying these are outdated stereotypes and, you know, you may be offended by some of this. So every other avenue of society nowadays in 2025, this behaviour is frowned upon.
Mm-hmm. No, but
football supporters and golf fans seem to think it's okay.
Has on the back of their season tickets, or they make announcements, or it's in the club that say, like, this type of language will not be tolerated and don't be abusive and all these sort of things. But it seems to be accepted that managers get. And managers actually, for one reason or another, do accept it. They just go on with it. They realise that if you're not winning matches, if you're not playing, delivering what you hope you want to deliver, you're going to take that. But there has to be an understanding of that. But, you know, from Russell Martin's point of view, when he went into Rangers, Gordon, when he'd done his early interviews, he said he knew what the job was about, he knew the demands, and he knew he had to play winning football, he had to win football matches, and that's not what he's done enough. So therefore, he knows the best way to turn this, and the only way to turn it round is by winning football matches first and foremost, and then after that, winning it with style.
It just looks
he's got two avenues to go down.
Anything to go by, he's going to need to win loads of them.
Yeah, he is, but he knows that.
A long consecutive road. Yeah. Anyway, well, thank Craig, because it's time for us to do this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Gabriel's girlfriend's been straight on to him. She's not happy that we've slagged his new jumper that she bought.
She's kept her seat, though.
I feel bad now. I feel guilty.
I'm sure you brought it up.
I know. It just seemed like, you know, the worst of it is I'm a hypocrite. I actually didn't mind it, but I just thought it was an easy joke to make under the circumstances.
You picked one.
Yeah.
See, I'll let you.
I know. That's what it is.
It's typical football.
That's what Russell Martin says, isn't it? That's what it is.
Picking on the guy.
Nearly biting through this bottom lip, not to say what I'm saying.
Yeah. Please don't then. No. Anyway, it's Pete the Pundit time. 01419511025, and the lines close at 7.
1-4-1-9-5-1-1-0-2-5. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hannah and Jim Duffy are here, both waiting for you to get in touch, and there is no shortage of talking points. We've just been live to Austria to get the inside track from Russell Martin's camp, the press conference ahead of the game against Sturm Graz. The pitch didn't look good when we spoke to Gabriel. Lots of the pre-match talk, though, surrounding the upcoming appointment of Kevin Thelwell's son as Rangers' new head of recruitment. Give us all your thoughts there. Brendan Rodgers speaking today about trying to get the fans and the board united and ultimately move past these silent protests and get Celtic Park loud again ahead of the game there against Braga tomorrow. But anything else you want to share, if you want to move on, change the topic, introduce something new, we are here for you as well. Let's play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, it is Beat the Pundit time. Roger Hanna in his unfamiliar Wednesday night. It's like a player playing out of position, would you say?
I've been extremely worried that David Friel's Beat the Pundit record on a Monday night.
Think, has he been flexing his muscles around the Scottish Sun office?
Two games, two wins. Yeah,
he's done all right.
Is he getting any tens there?
No tens so far.
I'm also,
I need to say to him when I see him next, I'm also slightly enjoying the sheer anguish that Andy Halliday is still going through, having lost a week past on Monday. He's in a terrible state, the poor man.
He's having a tough time of it at the moment. Anyway, we'll move on and see what we've got tonight with Jason, who's on. How are you, Jason?
All right, lads.
First time?
It is, aye.
Good, I like it. Okay, you want to try and tackle Roger Hanna and he's minus one, or?
I've got to.
We'll toss the coin anyway and find out how it goes. The red side of the coin will be Roger Hanna, the blue side, Jim Duffy. Right. So let's see how we go tonight. And it is.
Oh.
It's Roger Hanna minus one.
Yeehaw.
I like it, Jason. Confidence. I like it. Let's do it. 30 seconds going on the clock once we give Roger some music to keep him entertained. Pretty straightforward, Jason. Answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know. All right?
No worries.
Good man then. 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Who's the only Hearts player being named in the Scotland squad this week?
Craig Gordon.
Which team is top of League One in Scotland?
Stenhousemuir.
What country are Sturm Graz from?
Austria.
Who was the last Celtic player to play for Scotland?
Craig Taylor.
How many games have Motherwell drawn in the league this season?
Five.
Ethan Williams on loan at Falkirk from which English team?
Stoke.
Who was the last Rangers player to win PFA Player of the Year in Scotland?
Oh, pass.
Okay, let's bring him back. Roger Hanna, can you hear us?
I've got you now.
I I think he's panicking about something. He's flicking through his notes there quite frantically during that, just to see if he could. Were you trying to brush up on something?
Yeah, yeah. Everything.
Right. Where have you been? What's the, why are you off so often on a Monday at the moment?
I was actually away in Arran with my wife for a couple of nights.
Nice place.
You do get about, don't you?
Well, you know what I'm not.
Man of leisure.
Is Mrs. Hannah calmed down any on the stranger that took a picture of you in the departures lounge in Lanzarote and sent it to us?
She wasn't happy about that. I think I managed to calm her down. I think she wrongly assumed that she would be in the photograph at this end. She was furious at this.
But happy enough that it's just you.
Once I assured her it was only me that was in the picture, so that calmed her down. She was okay then.
Anyway, let's go, Roger. 30 seconds on the clock. You do start on minus one and your time starts now. Who's the only Hearts player named in the Scotland squad this week?
Craig Gordon.
Which team is currently top of Scottish League One?
Inverness.
Which country are Sturm Graz from?
Austria.
Who was the last Celtic player to play for Scotland?
Tony Ralston.
How many games have Motherwell drawn in the league this season?
Five.
Ethan Williams is on loan at Falkirk from which team?
Man United.
Who was the last Rangers player to win Scottish PFA Player of the Year?
James Tavernier.
Okay. I was just wondering, I was about to try and fit in another question and I just panicked at the last minute and I wasn't sure if you were going to accuse me of cutting you off. Jason, now that you've heard your rival, what do you think?
I think he might go me.
He does start on minus one, so let's go through them. The only Hearts player who is in the Scotland squad is Craig Gordon. You both got it, so Roger stays one behind. Inverness Cali Thistle, though, are top of League One, so that is Roger Hanna's equaliser. Sturm Graz are from Austria. You're still level. The last Celtic player to play for Scotland was Anthony Ralston. It was not Greg Taylor, Jason. So Roger Hanna goes one in front. Jason was pretty good, though. He kept at it. He got five for Motherwell. Yeah, how many league games they've drawn. Ethan Williams is on loan from Man United, though. And James Tavernier is the last Rangers player to win the PFA Player of the Year, which I think means Roger Hanna.
One by one.
You going for the 10 again? Did you get them all right there?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness, we can't have this. Because you've lost this season.
You got them all right.
But you've also had two 10s.
Yeah.
We can't have three 10s by October. See, if you get a third 10, you'll need to go back to minus two.
This was negotiated by my agent pre-season.
Fine, let's go. Let's go for a hat-trick of 10s. It's never been done. Which Premiership player has played for Raith Rovers, Fulham and Hibs?
Kieran Bowie.
How many B teams are in the Lowland League?
Two.
Which Scottish team inflicted the most defeats on Sir Alex Ferguson's Aberdeen?
What, all time?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So when Sir Alex was at Aberdeen, which Scottish team beat him the most?
I'm a total guess, I'm going to have to say Celtic.
Oh, it's Dundee United. Yeah, he's fallen at the last.
That was Rangers or Dundee United, wasn't it?
Jim McLean's team.
Oh dear. Can I make a confession? I'm a bad man. I don't even mind. I could have just gone on my business. You'd never have known. The actual question gave you the option of Dundee United or Celtic. Well, but presumably you would have still gone Celtic anyway. Alright, okay.
I can
sleep easy tonight. I just thought I would make it harder. Look, Jason, you've been beaten by a man at the top of his game. It's hard to argue with that, isn't it?
No much I can do there.
Who's your team, Jason?
Hearts.
Oh, good. I've been hoping to speak to a Hearts fan this week. How long can you sustain this?
The weekend against Hibs.
Oh no, we're going to hammer lame, obviously. I mean, the main players stay fit. I would say I don't think we can win the league, but I will go for second happily.
Yeah. Listen, Roger, you've got, I think for us it's great, you just embrace it and it's interesting. Derek McInnes is doing his best to play it down, which I just think you would. You know, we mentioned last night, someone said about, I think Hearts have scored so many more goals than Celtic, and we were just pointing out how after six games that total stack can change entirely by the seventh game.
Derek must be really worried, because the last time Hearts were top of the league after nine games they sacked the manager, George Burley. But listen, they've done really well so far. I don't think they'll win the league. I disagree with Hugh Keevans. I still think the Celtic squad is robust enough, experienced enough and talented enough that they will win the league. But it's great for Scottish football that Hearts are pushing at the top of the league, particularly after Tony Bloom's pre-season investment, Tony Bloom's pre-season words about, you know, eventually winning a league in the next 10 years and getting to a Champions League. And the best bit so far was last night on this show, Jim, when Marvin Bartley cut himself off saying, oh, I'd love to see Hearts win the league. I mean, no, maybe not Hearts, but I'd love to see somebody win the league.
Mr. Hibbs. I was actually doing some work up at Falkirk today, and I got the impression they weren't delighted that the news of a behind closed doors game got leaked yesterday that Hearts won 6-0. But look, it was out there, and that's, you know, that's the way it works sometimes. But look, yes, only a bounce game, etc., but still maybe a sign of kind of what Hearts have got there in reserve. You know, it's a game where Craig Gordon played a bit that, you know, he hasn't played, and people were raving about Agu, who cost a couple of million, and we've not really seen him yet because he's been injured. So, you know, there's still a bit there for Hearts to come back as well.
I don't see Hearts going anywhere soon, but the derby match at the weekend is going to be a test. I mean, you know, Hibs have been a wee bit more inconsistent this year, but it's still going to be a test. There's no doubt about that. But Hearts obviously been at Ibrox recently and won the game, and, you know, the you know, Derek McInnes, a fantastic manager, great experience. So he's not going to get carried away. I mean, you only have to look at Aberdeen, and people have mentioned it already. What happened last year, everyone was going about Aberdeen. We had callers on here early on in the season, Gordon. You know, Aberdeen fans actually saying, oh, they felt that it was.
That was 10 games. I think it's just worth them.
Come back to us, Gordon. I think Hearts' next two home league games are Hibernian and Celtic. If they take maximum points from Hibernian and Celtic, come back and we can maybe revise
their
opinion.
Do you fancy the derby this weekend though, Jason?
You've got to, at home, you've got to fancy yourselves. But just with the form that we're in, I've got to say 3-1.
How much are you enjoying that mix of, you know, the new recruits from far-flung, not far-flung necessarily, but maybe more obscure leagues, you know, Kizaridis and Braga, but, you know, then mixed with your old reliables like Halkett and Shanklin doing the business at the weekend?
Well, that's it. It's just trying to find that blend of players who can attack and then obviously stay and focus, well, the mainstays in the team, but try and get their youth in as well. Because I do feel bad for like James Wilson and that as well, because they can't get a kick of the ball now. Because Braga, Kizaridis have just came in and took over.
That's a great point, actually. And I'll admit, I'm maybe guilty of almost forgetting about him. I know he was named in the Scotland under 21.
I wouldn't worry
21.
Too much. He's only 18. He'll still get a game for Hearts in Scotland at 42.
It's still very tough for any young player because a manager has to get results. And we mentioned earlier on about the Russell Martin thing, and you sometimes have young boys on the horizon or in the squad, and they do get pushed back. Sometimes just one place, but sometimes more than that. The likes of Claudio Braga doing really, really well. Lauren Shanklin again back scoring the goals. Stephen Kingsley's come back into the team. You know, there's been a lot of Milne's been moved into midfield. I mean, a revelation.
Right side of midfield.
Yeah. So all of these type of things, if you're a young player and you've been on the periphery and you've been getting some game time and you get pushed back, it's difficult.
Hearts
can't complain. The fact they're playing good football and they're winning games. Yeah.
But you would have thought that this, naturally, this season becomes a season where he plays more than he did last. You know, that's the way kind of progression.
Yeah,
but I know it's not always linear, but that's the way people.
The standard's been lifted.
I know what you mean. I wonder when you get to January if James Wilson might get a loan deal somewhere, because he's not just behind Braga and Shanklin. You know, he's behind Elton Cabangu as well. There was a couple of weeks said he didn't even make the bench. If Hearts are up there, Gordon, in January, Tony Bloom will spend money, so that might put James Wilson even further down the pecking order. I wonder, he needs to play football. Now, I don't mind if he plays for Hearts, Celtic Hearts, or whoever he plays for. He needs to play football, and I wonder come January if there might be an opportunity for him to go somewhere where he will play football.
Were you surprised to see Craig Gordon back in the Scotland squad, Jason?
Very much surprised, aye. Just the fact that he's not played this season at all, and it was just a complete shock.
So it's probably the one complaint people have had about the squad, which on one hand is fine, it's great to debate, but another, I always think we do spend a lot of time arguing about the third choice goalie in the Scotland squad, who's never going to see any game time anyway.
Not much.
You know, I get it. Like, I know why. Like, I know why it's strange on the face of it, that guy who's not played any football and is 42 gets called up. But like I said,
well, young boy, you got a game time a while ago, didn't you? And it'd be a bit of a nightmare.
There's only a certain amount of energy I think you can give to an argument about the third choice goalie.
Yeah, no, I mean, Craig Gordon, he defies logic at times, you know. I mean, the amount of comebacks he's had from injuries, and he still gets back, whether it's a Hearts first team and in the Scotland setup. But he is an exceptional goalkeeper, and Stevie Clark said he does like guys who know him, he knows them, he can trust them, all these sort of things. You know, we had a bit of a debate last year when we looked at strikers, and it was Simon Murray, I think, was the one, and people were saying, well, he's 33 or whatever, actually he's too old, whereas you've got Craig Gordon nearly 10 years older. I know he's a goalkeeper, but he's still in the squad. So yeah, I mean, listen, you pick the best available regardless of age, and if Stevie Clark thinks that Craig Gordon's the best available, then he's feeling entitled to put him in the squad.
The way things are going, he could win the league and go to the World Cup at 43. I mean, it's ridiculous.
He'd hang around for the Champions League next season then as well, wouldn't he?
That's why Gordon refuses to answer his phone to Steve Clarke, because he always thinks he's going to ask to call up Cammy Bell.
Things have not got that bad yet, surely. Thank you to Jason, Hearts fan, top of the league, of course. Let's go to the second place in the league at the moment, because Brian's a Celtic fan. What are you thinking, Brian?
Just absolutely frustrated. It's just that how far's enough is enough? I've talked about like tomorrow night's game. I'm going with my son, and there's a 29-minute silence if I'm hearing.
Yep.
Right. Well, this could either go two ways. It could go one way where the supporters get what they want, or it's going to affect the team, which I think will affect the team. And then it's going to be a case of, if Celtic get knocked out of Europa League, I don't expect Celtic to go far. I expect them to do well. But with this continuous nonsense that they're disdain, it's like, then if Celtic don't do well, then you're going to have the fans on Super Scoreboard complaining, Celtic never did this, Celtic never did that. But it's like, it's the whole point of this carry on is today with the board, it's no today with the team. Now it's actually starting to affect, or start to affect the team, and then it's going to be a case of, right, well, what do you want? Then the board will be saying at the end of the season, right, well, look what you have done. You had a chance to back your team, but what did you do? No, you started Saturday, it was in Kilmarnock, 11 minutes, then they came into the pitch. Now it's 29 minutes tomorrow in a European tie. It's like...
Is this not like any sort of argument though, Brian, where when there's two sides to every story, the fans would then say to the board, in theory, in your hypothetical situation, well, you had the chance to stop this, just engage with us, just give us some of the answers we want, and we'll come and sing and make a noise. So
it's like,
kind of goes round in circles, doesn't it?
Aye. So one is as bad as ever, so to speak. It's like, your way of doing things. But then the team do need, because like I say, I've been to one or two European games, and when it's quiet, the players need the fans behind them. So for 29 minutes, if Celtic concede two goals, then it's going to be a case of, oh, well, then it's booing, it'll be, get this done. The fans need to back the team. I get the point that we had a bad transfer window, but we can't keep going back to this transfer market. It's just, look, let's move on. Let's try and enjoy the rest of the season in Europe and in the league games and cup games in Scotland. Try and do the best we can. Then at the end of the season, hopefully the board will see sense, and come the January transfer window, maybe they might say, right, well, if we need players, maybe they can just say, right, Brendan, the players you need, what do we need? Then we could get them in January, and then it gives a wee boost going into the end of the season.
See, when in the 12th of February, which just doesn't seem that long ago, when Bayern Munich came, do you remember when Celtic thought they'd scored inside the first, was it the first minute? They thought they'd scored, and the roof nearly came off. Can you imagine turning to someone that night and saying, the next time there's a Europa League, the next time there's a European, you know, group stage match here at Celtic Park, it'll, you know, it's going to be quiet for half an hour, and in amongst all this infighting.
Listen, it's got to help the opposition, and it's got to, you know, affect the Celtic players. There's no doubt about it. I mean, I think it's actually even worse than when not they didn't have any fans in a couple of years ago with the COVID, because there are fans there, but that kind of eerie silence has got to affect the players.
To be fair though, there are loads of fans who are not signed up to this protest. No, and no. They are more than welcome
no,
to
no,
make
noise. Listen, I think that's the one thing you're absolutely right, Gordon. I mean, this is a body of supporters associations that have suggested this, and obviously they've put it there. But I suppose any Celtic fan like Brian who goes there, if he's going with his son or whatever, they're fully entitled to cheer the team if they believe that that's what they want to do. So yeah, it might not be unanimous, but I just think if even an area and we saw a wee bit that Rangers at the weekend, a lot of Rangers fans were shouting for Russell Martin, but there was a lot of Rangers fans celebrating the winning goal. So it's not unanimous. It's that there's a majority or there's a proportion of fans that are entitled to view, or set their views with that stance, if they deem that the only way they feel that they can get some sort of issues dealt with from the club. But there's probably enough, a lot of Celtic fans. If I don't know what the crowd will be, but if it is close to maximum at 60,000, I'm sure there's enough, a lot of Celtic fans that maybe will cheer their team and create the atmosphere that which Celtic Park is known for in European nights.
Another statement from the Celtic Collective last Friday, Gordon, said the silent protest would last the 3 games. Do we know the extent of the plans for Sunday for the Motherwell game?
It's 30-something. I can't remember
the
exact...
I mean, it's going to be maybe even longer come the weekend.
Do you know, on the line, do we know if I've got that wrong? What's the exact number? Can you remember?
Does Brian know?
Brian, can you remember?
30, oh, sorry.
The minutes on Sunday, it's 30-something, isn't it, the plan?
Yep. To get back to what one of the panel was saying, at the moment, it's not a sellout for the game tomorrow. And Brendan Rodgers, his press conference, he was saying, I was listening to what you were saying, he's saying he would love for the board and the fans to sort this out as in quick as you possibly can, because this is just, it's going to drag on and drag. It's like a weight that the team and Brendan Rodgers, they don't need that. They need the fans to be behind them. Let's say,
Yeah, 32 minutes, sorry, just to interrupt, but just to carry on.
Yeah, when Rangers were dominating, I was a Celtic supporter, and, all right, it hurts when you lose the titles, but I still backed them. No matter what, I'll always back Brendan, I'll always back the team. And these Celtic supporters, it just gets me angry because they're damaging the team. And if Brendan goes next season, if any manager, and he's worth his salt, if he's seen this, if it's a case that is this going to happen next season if we have another bad window? Because it's like, when's this going to end? I just wish it was stopped. Back the team.
It's a strange one, Brian, because, we're discussing the fans at many clubs here, the crisis at Aberdeen, if you call it a crisis, you could see a solution there that, the other win games are to sack Jimmy Tellin. There's a solution there at Rangers. They could sack Russell Martin. I don't see how this situation at Celtic is going to resolve itself quickly.
Thank you very much, Brian. Plenty more to come when we return. It's a good time to join in. 01419511025. Speak to you soon.
The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Steve Cowan.
Umbrella companies, right, apparently made up that it's bad luck to open an umbrella in the house. When do we start thinking about Hearts going pretty close this season? Like
April the 24th. A job-saving goal if ever you saw one.
But the fans immediately started chanting for Russell Martin to get sacked.
What do you got? They get smaller and smaller and smaller.
Yeah.
But I've been inside a pyramid.
There it is. The TripAdvisor review of Steve Cowan.
Check it out on the Clyde One Super Scoreboard YouTube channel or get it where you get your podcasts now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
It's time for Roger Hanna and Jim Duffy to team up on the full-time teaser, which means answer a question sent in by you. So this is a good one tonight, and Jim, you've got luxury tonight. Enjoy the rest. You and me will take calls. We'll talk football. This Anorak in the corner will come up with all the answers to this question. No offence.
No problem.
It's like the football equivalent of Carol Vorderman.
Something like that. I don't know how that makes you feel.
I'm not sure how to take that.
Neither am I. I said I was working up at Falkirk earlier, and honestly, they were in the physio room, in the dressing room. They were talking about the full time teasers on this show rhyming them off. And honestly, it was.
I did like the story David told on Monday about Mrs. Friel coming in and saying, "What has beat the pundit?"
Beat the pundit.
So many people had stopped on the street to say, "Oh, I saw David and beat the pundit."
Huge news, absolutely huge news. Dave in Newcastle sends this one in. And he's gone for his local team, Dave. He says, since 2000, 9 Scotland internationals have made a competitive appearance for Newcastle. Quite a good one. Since 2000, 9 Scotland internationals have made a competitive appearance for Newcastle. It's really seen some of the names on this. It's fantastic.
Gary Caldwell. Stephen Caldwell.
No. Stephen Caldwell, yes. Mm. Gary had no competitive Newcastle appearances.
Is that right? Grant Hanley.
Yep.
Brian Kerr.
Yes. 3 caps and 13 Newcastle appearances. Well done. What we'll do is leave it there, because you've made quite good headway already. You're a third of the way there. So thank you again to Dave in Newcastle. If you want to hear your question used, hear the pundits struggle to come up with the answers to the question that you came up with, it is fulltime@clyde1.com on the email. fulltime@clyde1.com. You've got 3 already. Hopefully we'll get the rest. Let's hear from Russell Martin. He's been speaking in Austria ahead of the game against Sturm Graz tomorrow. The theme of the first couple of nights of this week has been, yes, Rangers won, but in really odd circumstances, where a winning goal goes in and the celebrations very quickly make way to even more abuse towards the manager. Here's what he had to say on that topic.
I want the players to enjoy it, and then people choose to turn their attention to me, and I just wish at that point they can enjoy their team winning, and the lads can enjoy it a bit more rather than having that energy towards me. Yeah, and the only other thing I find sad is when, like, and I see the kids standing next to their dads and stuff and sticking their fingers up at me and swearing at me, and I don't feel particularly sad about it for me. I just feel like for the cycle to go on and to understand, and like, I'm here. We've made mistakes. There's been some tough moments, but we are given everything we've got to improve the club, as is Kevin, as is Patrick, as are the owners. And I think when you have so much change, I've said it before, it's not an excuse, but I think it's pretty evident it might take some time. So the criticism aimed at me is fine. It is what it is. I've had a lot of fans come up to me in the city and around the place saying actually that to ignore it, that they feel it's gone quite some way over the normal criticism, but I've appreciated that. I've really appreciated that. But the rest of it is what it is. I think they just want to see their team win, mate. So we have to win games of football.
Like, social media is not the best barometer for this stuff. It's not a place for calm contemplation. But we put that clip on Twitter or X or whatever it's called these days, and I'm just looking at the replies, and again, it's just dozens of people really saying, this is him having a dig at the fans. It's made them angry again. Like I say, maybe just a small cross section, but I don't know how that'll land amongst the Rangers fans.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think that it's a difficult one. You get asked a question. I think that side of it, of speaking about parenting, if you want to call it that, and the cycle, and so I really don't think he should went anywhere near that. I think he's an experienced enough manager to know that any kind of comments he mentions about fans or in relation to their behaviour is going to be the ones that makes the headlines, whether it's in general media or social media. And I just think that's somewhere he should have been done. He said earlier on, and he said towards the end of his clip there, that he's got to win football matches. I think he should just concentrate on perhaps the changes that he mentioned, the fact that it's taking time. The only thing you're going to see is fans will want to see progression. They want to see their team improving, you know, even if it's mildly consistent and moving forward. And I think that's really what I think Russell should maybe just focus on about. If he believes, and I haven't seen Rangers enough, I've seen him in European games and stuff like that, but I haven't seen him enough to say whether there has been improvement, so it'd be unfair of me to make comment on that. But if he believes his team is improving and getting more like what he would, the style he wants to play, then build that into your conversation.
There was improvement on Sunday in the first half. Andy was there at the game, certainly better in the first half. In the win, Jim, if Celtic go there to Livingston and win in the 94th minute with a substitute defender scoring the goal, people say, that's what champions are made of.
So, you know, the Rangers fans criticising Russell Martin can't really have it both ways.
Nah, I'm not sure about that, because that only works if you've got a back catalogue of other good performances.
But now he's...
Because otherwise, let's take Rangers or Celtic.
His first win is a league in league campaign, wasn't it? And I think that was a big moment for him. That's the reason why I think that the celebration... He said there after the game, could the fans not have maybe looked at the team and go, rather than director,
that sign of champions bit, Roger, is earned. Otherwise, it's just called papering over the cracks.
But he now has an opportunity to use the Hibs game and the Livingston game. That's back-to-back domestic wins. I think the fixtures are reasonably kind to him in the month of October. No disrespect to the teams I'm about to mention. Falkirk away, Dundee United home, Kilmarnock at home. They've got a tough midweek game at Hibs directly before the League Cup semi-final against Celtic. If he can get to the Celtic game having had a run of victories, maybe even just a point at Easter Road, because you know how difficult that is, Jim, and then take his chances against Celtic. I get the impression that Russell Martin isn't in imminent danger, but I think when you get to a Premier Sports Cup semi-final on the Sunday afternoon at Hampden, that could make or break what's happening just now at Rangers.
Let's quickly hear his thoughts on what we discussed earlier on, the fact that Rangers are about to appoint Kevin Thelwell's son as the head of recruitment. This was Russell Martin's response.
Everything, the club needs change, so it needs to move forward. It needs to be done in a certain way, and not everyone will like certain things and how they are. But the club has to have something and some way to move forward, and that's about getting really good people in that have done a really good job elsewhere. And I really trust that Kevin, Dan, Patrick, the owners, wouldn't let anyone in the building unless they thought they were really, really good. So I'm really happy with the points we're making, really happy with the change we've made inside the club, and I think we're moving forward. The person most aware of that and having lots of chats with him would be Kevin. So I don't think he'd ever put himself in that position if he and Dan didn't believe that his son was very good. I worked at Norwich for a very long time. There are a lot of people still there who think he's very, very good. And if he's got the same values and clarity as his old man, he'll be in good hands.
Jordan is on the line. Does that explanation make you feel any better about it, Jordan?
No, not at all. To be honest, it fills me a wee bit more worried, because he goes on about saying that Kevin Thelwell and Patrick Stewart wouldn't have appointed anyone not knowing that they couldn't do the job, but they appointed him, and he's been pretty inept at doing the job himself. So I maybe would have stayed away from that comment. But basically, my point was, I've had a look into this. We seem to have a number of ex-Everton staff at the club. Kevin Thelwell is the sporting director. Dan Purdy is the technical director. We've got Yusuf Chermiti, the £8 million striker who still hasn't scored. Nathan Fisher, I think Roger can maybe confirm this, was getting brought in as a head scout. I think that's still
coming from Everton as well, yep.
Yep, he's from Everton. And then now we've got Thelwell Jr., Kevin Thelwell's son. This just screams the nepotism. Now, I'm sure both of you are aware, but Davy Weir left Brighton, I think. Maybe a month ago?
Yeah, he did.
Davy Weir could do every single one of them jobs that I've just rattled off. I'm probably better than every single one of the people that are in that role at the moment. I'm pretty sure Davy Weir would have been interested in the job.
See, to be fair, if you've, and I know Davy Weir, I'm sure, likes Rangers and whatever. Davy Weir was the Kevin Thelwell, if you like. He was the technical director at Brighton. I don't know if you then step to become the head of recruitment at Rangers. That would feel like a step back to me. No offence to Rangers. I know, you know, we think about the emotion of football, but I don't think that's the next step for Davy Weir, is it? Maybe Kevin Thelwell's role at a push, but not the one below it.
I only mentioned him because he's currently not in a role. It was just an example I gave. I mean, a very good example is somebody who'd been at Rangers. It's just that it was an example. He's not in a role. It's not as if it's somebody we have to go and take from a club. He's not in a job at the moment, and I believe he's better than every single one of them people I've mentioned. But maybe Jim could maybe enlighten me to what the difference between a sporting director and a technical director and a head scout is and a head of recruitment, because we all seem to sound very similar. And then Russell Martin says he didn't have any input on the Thelwell Jr. appointment. Well, surely that's worrying as well, because he's got to be on the same page as the head of recruitment. So we've got the same player. They're all reading off the same hymn sheet.
No, in fairness, I know we're not cutting Rangers much slack here, But the manager shouldn't pick the head of recruitment. No. The manager shouldn't pick, because they're...
And he's not manager anyway, is he? He's head coach of the football
That's
team.
The point. The structure should exist above him. But, and well, listen, we'd need to dedicate a full show to the difference between all the roles. The general point I'm trying to make is a technical director is certainly sits above the head of recruitment. So the point I'm trying to make is Kevin Thirlwell's son's job, I don't think, even though he's unemployed technically, I think that would be seen like a step backwards for Davy Weir. That's all I'm...
Yeah, I think Jordan's obviously got his views on the who the personnel is. The one thing is, regardless of any personnel, whether it's a head coach, whether it's a head of recruitment, whether it's chief executive, whatever it happens to be, Rangers did have to change their structure. There's no doubt about that. I think they did have to become more modern in how they approach things. Now, whether you agree with the people that are in those positions, that's a different opinion entirely. But I think Rangers did have to look at their overall structure of how their football department was, because I don't think it... I mean, there were so many board changes over the last couple of years and managerial changes that I think a lot of that stuff had get pushed to the background. So the new owners have come in, they've looked at that overall structure, and then they've put all these people in place over the last few months. That will take time to see whether it's, you know, where it all goes in the direction they want it to go. And it's not a quick fix outside it. But for a club the size of Rangers, they did have to change that. They had to modernise that and take it into the area the era that we're in just now. So I do believe that was the right thing, Jordan, for the club to go down. Whether it's the right personnel, as I said, obviously only time can tell, to see whether those are the right guys. And again, Russell Martin's asked the question about Robbie Thirlwell or whatever happens to be. He's head coach. He's not going to say, no, that's not somebody that I think that I wouldn't have picked. You know what I mean? He's got to say, he's got to do the sound bites correctly.
The only thing that can prove this to be the right appointment is the body of work that then follows. Because... Because even what Russell Martin says there, where he says, you know, along the lines of, I don't think Kevin would pick someone if he didn't think he could do the job. I don't doubt that Kevin Thirlwell thinks his son can do the job. Yeah. I think the people who've got a problem with it are wondering why he thinks he's the right man for the job. Is it because he's his son? I've got no doubt that Kevin Thirlwell thinks, do you know what I mean? I don't think he's deliberately putting his son in thinking that it's not going to work.
Listen, we need to give him the benefit of the doubt. And as you say, Gordon, like anything else, it's like Russell Martin with winning football matches. Robbie Thirlwell will be judged on the recruitment of Rangers footballers from January onwards.
And that's already unforgiving. So the first January signing, if that player doesn't hit the ground, it will be this guy's son shouldn't be recruiting the players.
But listen, can I take you back to, I mentioned Mark Lowell earlier on, Lee Congerton, Nick Hammond,
John Park,
you know, people, rightly or wrongly, and it may be wrong, they do get judged by the players who are brought in on their watch.
But multiply that this time, because it's the sporting director's son.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
Anyway, thank you to Jordan. What about this teaser? Scotland internationals who've made a competitive appearance for Newcastle this century. Grant Hanley, Brian Kerr and Stephen Caldwell.
Ryan Fraser.
Yes.
The telly on Monday night, big dunk.
Big dunk. We'll get the rest of the answers when we return.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We're on the home straight already. It's been another quick show tonight on the usual number. On the teaser tonight, Dave in Newcastle's asking, can you name the 9 Scotland internationals since 2000 who've made a competitive appearance for Newcastle? Ryan Fraser, Grant Hanley, Brian Kerr, Stephen Caldwell, Duncan Ferguson.
What about Kevin Gallagher?
Yes.
Kevin Gallagher. Is Matt Ritchie?
He is, which means 2 to get. We'll get them before the end, so leave it there. And the address you need is fulltime@clyde1.com. Let's hear a bit more from Brendan Rodgers as we build up to kickoff, because tomorrow, by the time we get here, there will be that early kickoff, of course, for Celtic against Braga. And lots going on with all the talk about protests and all the rest of it. I think we've covered that in a bit of detail.
The 3 European games, and normally that's a huge thing everyone looks forward to. And it's just been like nothing to do with the football. It's just everything to do with off the pitch stuff.
We've got 4 minutes left. Let's do it. Yeah. Brendan Rodgers says understanding why Celtic haven't been scoring as many goals this season is not rocket science.
We refer back a lot to the opening of last season and where the team is at. You know, in the main, that team was fluid and and prepared, and a lot of the players had played the system, understood the intensity of which we worked, how we break teams down, and obviously we had goal scorers. You know, we had people that score goals. So now it's a change in terms of personnel. So to them, new dimensions and new connections that you bring in. You don't need to be a rocket scientist to understand where and why we haven't got the goals, and because a manager can always transform a team, but the trajectory of a team will always come down to the level of players that you have, and that's not changed. Football is, it's not rocket science. It's the same way back in years as to what it is now. The players ultimately will transform the trajectory of your football. So for us, we brought some new players in. We give them time to settle in. But whilst we're doing that, we support them and the players that are here. We continue to work with them and look to push the levels as we go through the season.
What does an attacking fluidity look like for Celtic tomorrow? What's that best front three going into a European game? It still won't be ideal, I don't think, in the eyes of the Celtic fans, but what's the best bet?
For me, that's Chinecki in the left, obviously, in the actual through the middle. And I think it's got to be Maeda. I think he's got to, and we know it's not his preferred position on the right, but I think he's better wide than he is through the middle. And I think that would be, I think he's better than Yang. I think he's I just think that for the intensity that he wants to play, he still gives you that press. Yeah, we know he's got all the situations regarding whether he was wanting to go away and all these kind of things, and he's not anywhere near the heights. But I think he's the best option for Celtic at the moment. But obviously, Brendan's got a bit of work to do to try and make sure he gets inside his head and tries to get him to a level, maybe not any, you know, the level he was at last year, but certainly a lot better than he's currently been this season so far.
Yeah, I would agree. I think you mentioned Hatate at the top of the show, Gordon. I think he returned to training today. I think they need Hatate and Nygren in, because this season, the sort of backup midfield, if you like, Engels, McCowan, Bernardo, they haven't contributed the way they did last season.
Is Hatate contributing the way he usually does?
No, but I think he's contributing more than the others that I've just mentioned.
I'm a wee bit surprised with Bernardo. I must admit, I thought he would have got more of a chance, but I mean, he just seems listen, to be having little cameo.
Jim, I don't need to difficult. Tell you that the manager sees him every hour of every day.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And is Colby Donovan ahead of Anthony Ralston suddenly at right back, or does
Anthony
experience
been
count?
Into the Scotland squad, but I think Colby Donovan has been terrific. And again, I love to see young players coming in, and you know, I think Celtic fans like to see that as well. I mean, you see in the left hand side, obviously now with Kieran Tierney back, you know, a player that came through the ranks, and Colby Donovan has done that for me. And I think he could solve Celtic's option to Alistair Johnson. And no disrespect to Tony Ralston, listen, he goes in and he gives everything to Celtic. But I think Colby Donovan's athleticism, his height, his presence, Celtic aren't the biggest team, all these sort of things gives him something slightly different. And he seems very comfortable for a 19 years of age in that role. So yeah, I think he's got a real big future ahead of him as a Celtic player.
Jim, just in terms of form and fitness, he deserves a game. You know, the way he played in Belgrade last week, he deserves to play against Braga tomorrow night. It's as simple as that.
Aberdeen play as well, obviously. Shakhtar Donetsk, one reading of it, you got this is the last thing Aberdeen needs at the moment.
Is it the best thing?
Yeah, I mean, I was at Fir Park at the weekend, right? Now, you can't dress up the league position. Bottom haven't scored a league goal. But because it's Jimmy Tilleen, because the Scottish Cup and all the rest of it, I don't think there's like, it's not vitriolic. There's not that hate there. It's not as intense. You might get people in their quiet moments, and I know there was the odd one at Tannadice, but who say it might be time for managerial change. But do you think there is an acceptance that this is Shakhtar Donetsk, this is going to be extremely tough, and you get away with whatever happens tomorrow?
Not whatever happens. So if it was heavy, tell you, if there's a 2-1 defeat or a 3-1
right, so
defeat.
If it was a battering,
if it's a 4-0,
right, okay,
questions are asked.
I'm not even sure if I know Shakhtar Donetsk had a test. But I think he needs a performance. He has to get some sort of performance from his team, you know, and some sort of result. Because the goodwill of the cup final is dramatically
hard to get a result, though, isn't it? That's the point.
Yeah, but again, I think, as you say, because of the league position, as you mentioned, Gordon. Yeah, the performances have was a bit better against mm-hmm. Motherwell, but ultimately not scoring a goal, I think, is, and he signed Kevin Nisbet and he's brought one or two other players in. I just think that they need to find some way of being more threatening, and because, as I said, that goodwill is thinning by the week.
It's difficult because, you know, you can get that, you know, it gets chipped away at. It just feels like if the Aberdeen board currently feel like it's not time to change the manager, I just don't know if a defeat against a team like Shakhtar Donetsk should change that.
I know what you mean, Gordon. I do think it's an important few days for him. You know, we speak about Russell Martin extending to the Celtic game on the 1st of November. If things go wrong for Jimmy Tillian tomorrow night against Shakhtar and on Sunday at home to Dundee, you do wonder, because how long can you let this slide? We're now on the 1st of October. They haven't scored a goal in the league. They haven't scored a goal, let alone won a game.
Scored in Europe, though. So there's always that.
Yeah, they scored at Capello in the League Cup. They can hold on to that.
Okay, we'll see what happens tomorrow. It's an early kickoff for Celtic, so I'm sure Gordon DL and Ross McCormick will enjoy watching it. On the teaser tonight, we're looking for the 9 Scotland internationals that have also played a competitive game for Newcastle since 2000. Ryan Fraser, Grant Hanley, Matt Ritchie, all got a good number of Scotland caps. Kevin Gallagher, Duncan Ferguson, Stephen Caldwell's a sneaky one, and the two remaining are really tough.
I've got back to you one that we're not 100% sure of the date, but Alex Matthew?
Nope.
No.
Is that a goalie?
Nope.
See, Daz is wrong. Daz always said there's always a goalie.
Aye, well, can't think of any other ones.
Here's one for you. One of these guys, one Scotland cap, one Newcastle appearance.
Cheesy peeps.
Yeah, that's, in theory, couldn't be more difficult then.
Yeah. Is he a striker?
He's not, he's a centre half. And he's now playing in the Scottish Premiership. He scored a couple of goals this season.
Oh, wow.
Wells, Kilmarnock.
Stuart Finlay?
Yes.
Oh, Stuart Finlay at Newcastle.
One appearance.
I knew he was there, but
one in the cup. And scored and played for Scotland against San Marino once. Yeah, the last one, he's only played for Scotland for 11 minutes against the Faroes in 1998, but he did make 58 Newcastle appearances.
I thought this was since 2000.
About the other bit, it's Stephen Glass.
Oh, Stephen Glass.
Right. Back tomorrow at 6. Have a good night.
Years before.